From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May the 17th, 2011. Every week, this podcast brings you the news that shapes the geospatial industry, location-based information technology, and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief today in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Today's topic is cybersecurity and location intelligence. With the release of the White House's cybersecurity legislative proposal, we take a look at the document and how it puts critical infrastructure protection of the assets of the United States, and in particular that of water, transportation, and the electric grid, as a top priority. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. You can now access ArcGIS on your Microsoft Windows Phone 7 device. Download the free app from the Zune Marketplace. For more information, visit esri.com/windowsphone.
Adina, I want to start with a quote from President Obama, which is a preamble to the White House's legislative proposal on cybersecurity, and I quote, "We count on computer networks to deliver our oil and gas, our power, and our water. We rely on them for public transportation and air traffic control. But just as we have failed in the past to invest in our physical infrastructure, our roads, our bridges, and rails, we've failed to invest in the security of our digital infrastructure," unquote. And he said that on May 29th, 2009. What I want to do is get right to some of the issues spelled out in that proposal, but to really put in perspective, this whole proposal has an underlying current of geospatial information technology, its dissemination, and the protection thereof. The proposal really kind of mutes that in a big way. But let me try to delve into some of the specifics, and we can discuss where this impacts the geospatial technology profession in particular. So at the start, the proposal recognizes that the Department of Homeland Security's authority in reviewing the cyber threats is unclear, and that must be changed. That's kind of the whole premise of a lot of this proposal that the White House is suggesting. It also tries to make clear how federal agencies should share information about cyber threats and to be accountable for that information. So the DHS has never had the authority to review the status of threats. In particular, what's happening is they're getting bombarded by these requests to review the cyber attacks that some of these other federal agencies have come under. So what the proposal is trying to do is actually give them the authority to handle all of these requests. So that's the very first thing. And as we know, a lot of what DHS has done is protect critical infrastructure. And this is kind of this theme that's working under the whole thing, but it's never really spelled out how geospatial technology and industry is a part of this. And I imagine that some of the confusion in DHS has to deal with dealing with data, the threat of letting the data out of the bottle, how much data should be let out. So it's all very ambiguous. It's a good step, but there's some things that perhaps need to be spelled out better. So what the first part of this proposal is trying to do is make it very clear that the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security, has the authority to review cyber threats. These cyber threats really impact the critical infrastructure of both those in the public, what the public holds, those by our cities and local authorities, as well as the private industry, the electric utilities and whatnot. So it's not quite clear in some sense how the DHS is going to be working with these other authorities to help them protect the critical infrastructure that's in place, and by virtue of the fact that the infrastructure is really a lot of which is geospatial information. So it's not quite clear how in depth the DHS is going to address this threat. Do you see that this proposal needs to be fleshed out a lot better than what it is at this time?
Well, this is clearly a high-level statement of the vision of what DHS is going to be responsible for. And I think you're exactly right that from this is going to come some more detailed documents that do, in fact, put those details in place. And you have to look at this with sort of mixed feelings. In one sense, I certainly went to this document thinking, oh, I wonder if it says anything in particular about geospatial data or geospatial networks. I found nothing. Which, in one side, makes me disappointed. On the other hand, wow, so geospatial data and networks maybe are nothing special. They're just rolled into all that other technology, all those other technology networks, and all that other data.
It just seems to be implied without stating it overtly. Everything that we value as our, the infrastructure of our country, the oil and gas pipelines, the power, as Obama stated, the transportation, the air traffic, all of that has geospatial technology at its core. And so maybe by not spelling it out, it's just to be assumed that this is what they mean. Maybe we're more at risk than people realize, because it isn't as spelled out to us, right? We want it spelled out more. We're just a little bit too geocentric in that regard.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. Geocentric. So we read this document thinking about the geospatial infrastructure that underlies all of these networks and all of the data that goes with it. So we're immediately thinking of that. What's perhaps a good question is to ask the legislators who are going to be looking at this document if they even think about those things. What do they picture in their head when they read this document?
Well, and I think there's a problem with the document to this degree, which is, when I think of a cyber threat, I think of somebody hacking into a computer and stealing my personal information. When I read this, from my point of view, that's not what I get. What I get is somebody's going to go out there and steal the plans for our electric grid. You know, somebody's going to take Duke Energy's electric power system and download it, figure out where there's a hole in the infrastructure protection, and go in and try to bomb it or blow it up or whatever. That's what I get out of it.
Right, and I suspect that that's what the legislators will get. I think the picture that's in my head is Stuxnet, that evil worm that walked around into power plants in certain countries and seems to have been motivated by specific goals. That's the kind of threat I'm thinking of.
Right. Now, one of the other parts of the document is, it's kind of the way I see it stated, is working with industry. And let me quote a few things out of the proposal, which says, the administration proposal requires DHS to work with industry to identify the core critical infrastructure operators and to prioritize the most important cyber threats and vulnerabilities for those operators. Critical infrastructure operators would develop their own framework for addressing cyber threats. Then each critical infrastructure operator would have a third-party commercial auditor assess its cybersecurity risk mitigation plans. Now, that's a very specific proposal. I think we have to digest what that means, because what it's suggesting is that there's some other third party that's going to assess just how vulnerable we are. I think that's a good move on the White House's part.
Right, and this is really dicey, because this is that fine line between regulating private businesses and not regulating them, and who's watching the watchers. So I think this idea of having there be some third party that does these analyses of the state of cyber threat to a particular operator sort of removes the government from that responsibility, and hopefully makes businesses much more comfortable that it's really in control as opposed to the government.
Right. Another thing that it says is that the federal government has embraced cloud computing, where computer services and applications are run remotely over the internet. Cloud computing can reduce costs, increase security, and help the government take advantage of the latest private sector innovations. This new industry, this is an interesting quote, this new industry should not be crippled by protectionist measures, so the proposal prevents states from requiring companies to build their data centers in that state, except where expressly authorized by federal law. So there's a recognition that cloud computing is going to help them. That's a good thing, but shouldn't be crippled by protectionist measures, also a good thing. I thought it was interesting that they called out cloud computing here in particular, because that's one of the big directives of the Obama administration, is moving more things to the cloud and hopefully take advantage of some of the security issues associated with that.
Yeah, that seems so strangely out of place, and I guess it's – my sense is whoever was – given the task of putting together this document, had to address cloud computing because it is this buzzword.
Right.
But let's face it, most of this data already lives in something like the cloud, and probably for any given operator does not necessarily live in the same state. The servers don't necessarily live in the same state as where the operator is based.
Right.
So that all seemed like, let's deal with the buzzwords and see, let folks know we're up to date on it, but I don't think that really said much at all.
Yeah, it was a nod to recognize cloud computing. That's about what you can say about that situation. The last issue I want to bring up is something that was in a document I also posted online with our show notes, and it's from the FGDC. And the whole proposal, this whole thing coming out of the White House, I think comes at a particularly opportune time with the death of Osama bin Laden and the possibility of retaliation. Specifically, you know, I kind of would like to hear your thoughts on one of the guidelines that was published by the FGDC called Guidelines for Providing Appropriate Access to Geospatial Data in Response to Security Concerns. And one of the things in that was, and I'm quoting again here, it says, the net benefit of disseminating data is this: if the sensitive information poses a risk to security and is unique to the geospatial data, do the security costs of disseminating the data outweigh the societal benefits of data dissemination? To me, this really goes to the core of our democratic principles and understanding how data, in particular data that's collected with taxpayer money, should or should not be released, you know, for the public good. So I thought that was an interesting way to frame that that guideline.
Right, and that guideline and the RAND report that I also noted in the show notes all goes back to 9/11, when there was quite a lot of concern about how much information folks all over the world had about what was going on here in the United States, and the idea that we're sharing too much, and that's what enabled those attacks to happen. And there was a lot of knee-jerk reaction. A lot of data was pulled down. If you spin back and look at some of the coverage from those times, an awful lot of the coverage that I wrote was, this data is no longer available. There's a big fight about whether this data should be available and so forth. And the FGDC guidelines, I remember watching over that process, Nizjik was involved in that, was to, what is the process you go through to determine whether or not something should be shared or not? And I think we spent a lot of time and energy researching that, and the general consensus seemed to be that most things, most public data, should be shared. That the return on either going through the trouble of fuzzing it up or making it unavailable such that the hoops required to go through it to get the little piece you wanted were so costly and took away from many, many valid uses of it that it just wasn't worth it. And I think what's happening now is we're sort of revisiting that question in the context of cybersecurity, which really boils down to two things. It's the security of the network itself and the stuff that's on the network.
Right. Right.
So it's the network and the data, if you will. And what you're raising here is that it's sort of the return of that data issue. And I think we're going to be having that conversation continuously as we make more data digital and then make that digital data more available for more uses and potentially to the public. So we've really got to sit down and decide where that benefit is and what the meaning of a democratic society is. And those are big, huge questions in the face of what that data might enable to happen in the future.
This really could be the source of a great discussion if we had a panel of experts talk about this, because we're 10 years down the road from 9/11. Many things have happened in that intervening 10 years. We've exposed a lot of remotely sensed data through Google Earth. We know that anybody can find our road infrastructure, our pipeline infrastructure. It's there. It's exposed. And much of it also in a digital form. I have a feeling that to some degree, we're going to be making up policy on the fly. And some of that policy is due to the fact that so much geospatial information is already in the public domain, as you indicated. So to put the genie back in the bottle is a little bit too late. And we already realize the public good of having all of this data available anyway. So there's lots of considerations that are going to go into any new policy that comes out of the White House because of what we've experienced in the last 10 years and what we know that is available and that we find very useful.
And it may be that part of the answer to this isn't sort of a black and white, yes, you can put this on the internet, no, you can't, but perhaps that there are more processes in place to make it a little harder to get at certain data.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of finding and basically creating a little gray area in there in those situations where there is discomfort.
That's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, Esri, would like to remind you that the latest release of ArcPad is available. This update extends customization options and annotation capabilities, simplifying tasks and increasing access to key geographic data. For more information or to evaluate ArcPad, visit www.esri.com/ArcPad. We at Directions would like to remind you of a few upcoming webinars. The first on May 26th, Going the Distance, Pursuing a Graduate Degree Online, sponsored by Penn State. And on June 2nd, Location Standards, How Do They Help Government, sponsored by the Open Geospatial Consortium and Directions Media. Both will be held at 2 p.m. Eastern, and you can register at directionsmag.com/webinars. If you'd like to leave a comment on today's podcast, please do so in the comment box where this podcast is posted on Directions Magazine or by writing us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.